And when I walk by faith,
God manifests all I'll ever need.
Whatever God purposes,
He provides for.
I am the purpose
of God in the earth.
Therefore, all my needs are met.
I have more than enough in Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Now look at somebody and say, you got more than enough.
You got more than enough.
Hallelujah. You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 51,
that Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover.
And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast.
Now they had done it 11 other times.
This was nothing unusual.
And 11 times they went back home.
But today was a little different.
When they had finished the days, as they returned,
the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem.
And Joseph and his mother did not know it.
But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey
and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances.
So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem
seeking him.
Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple,
sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions.
And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers.
So when they saw him, they were amazed.
And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us?
Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously."
And he said to them, "Why did you seek me?
Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?"
But they did not understand the statement which he had spoken to them.
Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth,
and was subject to them.
But his mother kept all these things in her heart.
And Jesus increased.
Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man.
I remember the time that you've heard me say it,
when we were so anxious to get home and our daughters were young and Louis was just a few years old, and we left the church without him.
We found him in building one,
in the men's or ladies' restrooms, flushing the toilets,
having a great time all by himself. And
we really didn't know it until we walked in the house.
We said, Where's Louis?
I don't know. Where's he at? Well, didn't you get him?
No, I didn't get him.
Oh my gosh, we left him at the church.
So I can relate to this story.
Remember Andrew Ironside? He was here just a few weeks ago.
I get a call about 11:15 at night.
It's from Pastor Paul, my good friend over at Church on the Rise.
They were staying there at their home.
Andrew and his team had left the church, packed everything up, got out to Westlake.
I get the call.
Pastor Louis, this is Pastor Paul.
Andrew wanted me to call. They can't find one of their guys.
They think they left them back at the church.
If you found him, give me a call.
All of us have seen the Home Alone sequels
and how much fun those are to watch.
How could anybody leave a child behind?
Well, some of us have probably premeditated it a few times.
But our text tells of Jesus and the Passover in Jerusalem.
And interestingly, verse 44 in our text says, they went a day's journey.
A day's journey. Now, a day's journey is a long time
on a horseback or walking or in a cart drawn by a mule. I'm not really sure their mode of transportation, but an entire day had passed. And finally, somebody said, "Have you seen Jesus?" "No, I ain't seen him either." You know, that's interesting, the day that we live in, that we could be on life's journey and never know that Jesus is missing. I think that we've seen that in this hour, haven't we? With the whole idea of happy holidays, and, you know, we don't want to say Merry Christmas. We're a little afraid to speak that way today in our nation. I'm going to begin a new series in January called One Nation Under. I don't want you to miss that. What are we under any longer? Are we under God? Have we taken God out of everything? But a life's journey and not even knowing that He wasn't with you. It's sort of like Samson, who didn't realize that the Holy Spirit was lifted from him, thought he could come out and shake himself as before, and he did not even know that God was missing in his life. What a great hour of opportunity that we live in as believers, because this generation doesn't even have an idea that God is missing in their life. They have no idea that Jesus isn't in their caravan. And the Scripture tells us they supposed Him to be in the company. Most people today in America believe in God. It's interesting, a poll was taken recently. I heard it on one of the news shows, and it said something about 90% of Americans prefer that we say Merry Christmas around this time of the year. 90%. And yet, because of 10%, they now have decided to say Happy Holidays. I like what Brother Norm said the other day at the Primetimers Luncheon. He said, "Wait till the liberals hear this. Holiday comes from the word Holy Day." So when you're saying Happy Holidays, you're actually identifying the day that Christ was born. You're saying Happy Holy Day. Now don't tell any of the liberals that, because they'll want to change that too. So as a Christian, don't get too upset when they say Happy Holidays. Just refer back to it and say Happy Holy Day to you as well. But they supposed Him to be in the company. But the Scripture tells us they were taken up with the other company, their friends and their acquaintances. You know, in our life today, it's real easy to feel as though we're secure because of those around us. We almost feel like everything is all right, because if it wasn't, I wouldn't be here with all these people. I mean, all of us can't be wrong. So sometimes an entire family can live life without Jesus in the midst of them and yet feel confident that everything is all right, because everybody believes the same way. You know, Scripture talks about how bad company corrupts good character. And how Psalms 1 tells us, be careful where you stand and where you sit and where you walk. Because these individuals have influences on our life. And today, as we celebrate Christmas on this beautiful day, this Christmas Eve Sunday, and tonight we'll be back at 6 o'clock for our candlelight communion service. It's going to be a great time. I hope you can be a part of it. Bring a family member with you. I had a dream about the church last night. We were at the candlelight communion service, and somebody's candle got too close to somebody else and burned the church down. Now, I didn't burn it down. It just caught on fire. And I woke up. I thought, "Oh, Lord, the church caught on fire." He said, "Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about it." I said, "Okay, God, I'm going to believe that the Holy Spirit's going to show up tonight. Now, when you have your candle, please be careful." We're going to have communion. We're going to have a fellowship time. And we need to bring our family and bring our friends together. That misguided young man up there on the screens earlier, that was pretty cute, apartment number 162. He was trying to explain to him to get the Christmas spirit. And went through all the wranglings of that. And finally, the gentleman answered, "You know, hey, listen, it's all about Jesus." And I drive down my street and I look around, and people have reindeers out. They have stars, and they have, you know, all this gaudy stuff just hanging out everywhere. Bulbs hanging from their trees. And I mean, it's like, and then you get to my house and it's just dark. I mean, there's not a poinsettia. I'm thinking, Lord, we're the Christians over here and we don't have a thing outside. What's going on here? So I didn't really voice that. I mean, I might have said that, but my wife said, well, you know, she thought, well, we need to make this a little more festive. And I came home the other day, and you've been around here any length of time. You know how I feel about Santa Claus. And I preached on Santa Claus a few years ago to the point where people gasped in the audience and covered the ears of the children. And so I won't go into my detail of my message, but you get the point. And so little did I ever believe that I would pull up in the driveway and there, a 5'6" rendition of Santa Claus is on my front porch, waving at me. I said, Lord, where'd this come from? He said, it was only $49 at Home Depot. I said, well, you can pack it up and take it right back. So I came up with a better idea. I picked that bad boy up, and we have a little recessed window in the front, and I just picked him up, put him right up in the window. So as you pull up to my house, there's Santa waiting. She put a teddy bear in the other hand. Put a little lights on, little tree. Now I feel like we're Christians. You know, it's interesting. They supposed all was right when all was wrong. And it's real easy to think things are right because you have the ham ready, you have the festivities planned, you have the packages all, you know, under the tree. You've got your reindeer out in the front. You went and saw the lights, been singing Christmas carols, and you know, you suppose everything is all right. But how many know that those exterior things, those external things, did not necessarily define the inward heart? And aren't you thankful this morning that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Aren't you thankful? I mean, really think about it with me for a moment. There is an entire world that have no knowledge that Jesus is not on their journey. That somehow God in His infinite mercy and grace chose you and revealed Himself to you. And you're sitting here today knowing the true meaning of Christmas. It didn't have to be you, but God loved you enough to reveal Himself to you. And you received Him as your Lord and Savior. I think you ought to give God thanks for that. Come on, think about it. Give God thanks for that. Hallelujah. You see, they began to search for Jesus. They found out, well, my goodness, He's not with Aunt Bertha over there, and He's not with Uncle Joe, and He's not over here with the neighbors, and where's Jesus? They were looking for Him, and then they decided that, you know what, we don't have Him. You know, that's the first step of finding Him, is to recognize that you don't really have Him. And even though you walked through those doors today and I greeted you with a Merry Christmas and you've sent cards out and maybe you've been singing carols and today you've enjoyed the singing and the worship, and Sandra, I don't know that I ever heard you sing any more beautiful. That was a beautiful song. One of the greatest renditions of Mary did you ever know. And I loved it. And it wasn't with a CD. It was live music, wasn't it? My Lord, you guys are good. I'll tell you. I mean, I'd like to hear it one more time. But you see, we go through all that. You might have come here this morning and you're here because it's Christmas and you're here to worship God. But you know, you really don't know Him. You really don't have Christ as your Savior. And because of all the trappings of the season, you've felt comfortable in the camouflage. And yet today, you don't know Him. But the first step to knowing Him is to understand that He's not with you. And the question we often ask is, if you were to die today, do you know without uncertainty that you'd go to heaven? And if you can't answer that question, then He's not with you.
And if he's not with you, you and I must do what Mary and Joseph did, that entire family. They stopped their journeying. They stopped their direction that they were going, and they went back to where they lost him. Some of us here this morning used to serve God with a lot of fervency and conviction. But somewhere along the line, you parted company. Somewhere along the line, we become more liberal and more modern in our thinking, and we've left our values and our convictions and our traditions of what it is to be a Holy Ghost Bible-believing Christian, and we now are flowing with the tide of this modern era, and we've left Him. But if we can do like they did at that day and recognize that He's not with us anymore like He used to be with us, and stop our journeying and go back to where we lost Him. The question is, where did you lose Him? Amen. If you were to seek Him, where would you go? Some folks say, well, I just go to church. You know what? That may not be the place that you lost Him. Because I'll guarantee you, if you've been coming to this church, we've presented Him every Sunday and every Thursday and every opportunity that we can. So you didn't lose Him here. But you might have lost Him over there. You might have lost Him there on the job. You might have lost Him when your marriage went a little sour. You might have lost Him when your flesh began to tantalize you in regards to the things of this world. You began to partake of them and justify your own actions. You might have lost Him there. And I'll say to all of us today, we've got to go back to where we lost Him. We need to return back to our first love. And so there they entered Jerusalem, and they were having to go against the grain, because the Passover was over and everybody was leaving the city, but they were coming to the city. And sometimes to find God, you're going to have to swim upstream. You're going to have to go against the current. You're going to have to go against the majority of the thought and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm going to push my way through until I find Jesus again in my life. And that's my heart's desire for you today. That's my heart's passion for us as families, is to find Christ again. The Bible says in verse 46, it was 3 days searching. 3 days. It's significant in the Bible, you know. They didn't find Him the first day. They didn't find Him the second day. Now gone probably 4 days. And after 3 days, they found Him in the temple. 3 days being significant in Scripture. It was Jesus who was buried 3 days, rose on the third day. There's something about us searching for 3 days that speaks to us in the Scripture this way. Holy Spirit saying, if you want to find Him again, if you want to go back to where you were with God, you're going to have to die to yourself before you'll ever locate Jesus. That we cannot find God and find our life. The Bible says if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life, you will find it. Today, we need to recognize that we have to die to our own aspirations in life to find Jesus. But are we desperate enough? Are we hungry enough? Are we a people that have gotten to a place that say we cannot live without Christ fully in our life? That we cannot move and we cannot have our being without Christ in our life? Turn back to the place where you parted company with Christ. Where did you part company? And recover that sense of loss without Him. There's days in my life when I've recognized my closeness to God, and I feel the effects of that closeness. But there are other times in my life when I feel distance between myself and God. And it is a very terrible feeling to know that God is somewhere besides where I am. And today, if you're in that place, recognize that today. Don't let your heart become prideful. Recognize where you are. Turn back. Go 3 days journey. Seek Him out. Look for Him. Let Him be desperate in your life. Be the one that you live for with great passion. It'll drive you to find Him. When they did find Him, the Scripture tells us in Jeremiah 29 and 13, he that seeks will find. And you, sir, today, if you'll seek Him, you will find Him. Ma'am, today, you can find Him. He's close as the mention of His name. Let's go back to where we lost Him. Holy Spirit, I pray even now that You would reveal to hearts of men and women today where they lost Him.
where they lost fellowship and relationship with you, where they cooled off, where they cooled down, where they walked back, where they began to depart. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal that you would open their minds and hearts. Help us all, O God, that we could recover. The Scripture tells us that they found him. Guess where they found him? They found him in the temple. Everybody say, in the temple. And Jesus looked at him and said, where else do you think I would be? You know, today people are looking for God. Mysteriously, they're looking for God through angelic beings. They're looking for God on mountaintops and what they call sacred, quote unquote, places on the earth. They're looking for God in sanctuaries built by men. They're looking for God in church services like this. But my friends, that's not necessarily the place that Jesus hangs out. But he hangs out in the temple. And the temple is this, the very presence of the living God. He was in the presence of his Father. He said, I would always be there in the place of prayer. In the secret place of prayer, you can expect to find him. Do you need him today? You can go back to prayer. You can call upon his name and you can find him. And you'll find him when? After 3 days. Dying to ourselves, we can expect to find the resurrected Christ and all of his power. How? Sitting in the midst of the teachers. I like that particular scripture because it tells me that we can find him in this Bible. We can find him sitting in the midst of the teachers. Jesus is still breaking the Word of God down to us. He's still giving us the bread of life. And you can find him in the Word of God. See, we today have forsaken the reading of God's Word and the fellowship of the Scriptures for other things and thinking that we can exist without it. But really, sincerely, church, we cannot. Our life is in the Word of the living God. Amen? It is where we have our source of strength. Get your Bible out and read it. He'll be there waiting for you. Where did you think he would be? Scripture tells us in verse 51 that he went down with them. Now prior to that, he said, did you not know I'd be about my Father's business? In other words, I stayed here and you left. I would have concluded that what he was doing was his Father's business and I wasn't. But in verse 51, he went down with them. That tells me that they were as much of the Father's business as was him sitting in the temple discussing the Scriptures. And he submitted to them. I want to submit to you today that you and I are the Father's business. And Jesus will go home with you. But you've got to seek him out. You've got to ask him. He puts a priority on our relationship. He'll come down into our home, down into our sorrows, down into our challenges, down into our mistakes, into every detail of our everyday life. In the last 7 days, I have spoken to so many family members who have gone through suffering, challenges, loss, pain, uncertainty, anguish. But one thing that gives me strength when I'm able to speak to them, I'm able to say that he went down with you into that anxiety, into that stress, into that sorrow, into that pain, into that uncertainty in life. Because the Scripture says he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. You know, this Christmas, Jesus is waiting on your personal discovery. And as we embark on a new year, 2007, my question to all of us must be, as you journey into a new year, will he be with you? Not just a knowledge of him. Not just a past experience of him. Will he be with you?
Or will we leave him here this morning? Because he was here. As I looked upon the images of Jesus Christ being crucified, and Sandra singing so beautifully, "Mary, did you know?" I said, surely he is here. But that's really not the question. Will you depart this place and leave him? Or will you go home with him? Or will you and I, like Moses, make a decree that said, if you do not go with us, we will not move from this place? I think of all the people today who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and live in such anguish and live in such resentment towards those that do, that when you try to tell them, I met the Savior, they don't understand. They become angry with you, and they want to identify their religion. They want to identify their own experience of their church. They want to say all the things that you and I used to say, and we must tell them that he's not there. He's not there. He's waiting for you to seek him out. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we do nothing else today to make a resolve that 2007, Jesus will go with us in life's journey. You say, well, what does that mean, Pastor? Holy Spirit will show you. The Holy Spirit will tell you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. And He will reveal to you moment by moment what that means. If you and I will be open to His voice and ready to hear His word, He will guide us into this new year with great victory in mind. You've been on life's journey without Him. You can find Him this morning. What will you that I should do unto you? What would you desire, Jesus says. Somebody needs to say, stop the caravan. Stop my caravan in life. I am missing somebody. You're missing something. Some of you, I have to say, it was on your face as you walked into church today. You're missing something. Oh, you have a knowledge of God, but you're missing that personal intimacy with God. And on this Christmas, I would be amiss if I did not declare to you, Jesus Christ loves you and wants to save you. That today, this message of Christmas is Christ was born. And He came to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. If you'll bow your heads with me, I'm going to ask this simple question. What's missing in your life? Is joy missing? Peace is missing? Purpose, is that missing? What's missing in your life? And I want to tell you today that all of that is tied to the source of life, which is Jesus Christ. With no one looking around, you'll say, Pastor, you know what? You've identified my greatest need today. And I want to respond to Jesus Christ. I want to find Him today. Would you pray for me? And all over this room, if that's your heart's cry, that's your prayer, that's your desire, I'm going to ask you to do something on the count of three. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because you want to find Jesus. One, two, three. If that's you, just slip it up high enough that I might see it. Way over there. You came in here missing something. Way over there. And way up there, and over there, thank you, sir. Back there, thank you. Anybody else? You say, Pastor, I'm missing something in life. I got the presents ready. I've got the pies and the cakes ready. I've got the tree all ready to go, and it's aglow at home. But you know what? I'm missing Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me, Pastor? If you didn't already raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to do it now. If you did raise your hand, don't do it a second time. Throw it up there high enough for me to be able to see it, please. If that's you right now, hold your hand up. Let me see it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask our altar ministers to join me along the front of this building. Along the front of this altar. Every person that's coming is ready to pray with you that raised your hands. And even if you didn't raise your hand, I believe this is a moment when you're going to have to seek God for yourself. And they're going to pray with you to help you do that. So if you raised your hand, here's what I'd like for you to do. Just get up from where you're sitting. Walk down the aisle. If you're a lady, find one of the ladies. If you're a guy, find one of the guys. And we just want to pray for you. So let's do that right now. If you raise your hand, would you come? Stand and come. Thank you, sir. Come on, let's encourage him. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Come on. And over here, come on. Come on. That's good. That's good. Awesome. Come on. Amen.
And I live.
Awesome. Thank you. Come on. You don't have to be shy. We're just going to pray. That's all we're going to do. That's all we're going to do. Just pray. Come on. Come on, we're going to just pray for you. It's not a big deal. Come on.
Take joy, my King.
Come on, keep on encouraging them because they're coming. Yeah, they are. They're coming. So I got to find Jesus here this morning.
Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Now, what I like for you to do while others are contemplating is I want you lovingly to find a few people around you and say, listen, if you didn't raise your hand or if you need that prayer, if you did raise your hand, I'll go with you. You don't have to feel nervous about this. This is a very easy thing. But if you'll seek him, you'll find him, according to Jeremiah 29:11. Would you turn around and just look at a few people and ask them, take them by the hand, and then I want you just to bring them up to the front and let us pray together. So that God can be God in their life, just like God is God in your life. Would you do it? Hallelujah. Come on, this is your moment. And they are coming. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Lord. Come on, give them a hand clap of encouragement. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Come on.
Let it be a sweet.
Come on, this is your moment to do it. This is your moment. Now, I just feel that I don't want to labor this, but I just feel so convinced this is what Jesus wanted me to do today. Because he loves you. And even though you have had Christ missing in your life, can I tell you something that the Holy Spirit told me? Jesus said, I have something missing in my life. And that's you. And he wants to find you. And that's why he's given me this message this morning to let you know that he went a 3-day journey into the depths of the earth just to seek you out, just to find you. So don't hide. Don't hide. But say, Jesus, here I am. And come and let us pray for you. This is my last opportunity to be able to ask you right now. If you need to find Christ this morning, I want you to come out from where you're sitting and come to this altar. Would you do it right now in Jesus' name? Come on, right now. Do it right now in Jesus' name. Come on. God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now everybody pray this prayer after me, would you? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sought me out even when I wasn't looking for you. That 2,000 years ago, you died at Calvary just for me. Thank you for loving me. I ask you now to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart, Jesus. Be the Lord of my life. Save me from sin. Save me from myself. Save me from Satan. I renounce sin. I renounce Satan. I renounce this world.
And I fully embrace God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for living in me. In Jesus' name, amen.